days of prayer and fasting. Yes, 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 yes. And again, this is a part of presenting your life as a first fruit offering. Say, God, here at the very beginning of the year, I just want to take some time, watch this, to dedicate myself to you. And as you do so, you can expect his presence now to show itself even bigger in you so that you're able to rise in your revelation, rise in your expectation, rise in the manifestations God has for you, and rise in your impartation of how you are impacting others. But it comes with this sense of commitment. Now, we're starting something today. Really, we started on last week, so we're going to continue on. And this is what we're calling deeper. Someone say deeper. If you're going to make the most out of this year and out of this decade, my prayer for you and I is that we go deeper. That we go deeper in our faith in God. That we receive, watch this, more and even greater restoration from God. And that we make an even greater impact for God. But it all hinges upon our ability to get deeper with God. We cannot hang out, you know, in the shallow water any longer. It's time to get deeper. And in the deep, I got news for you. It's uncomfortable. It's not comfortable. As a matter of fact, if you are comfortable, you're probably not deep enough yet. If you've gotten to a place where you're starting to get uncomfortable, welcome to the deep. And that's where God has called for us to be. So I want to encourage you to participate with us during these 21 days of prayer and fasting. And then also this Wednesday, our first Wednesday, we have a night of praise and worship. And I really can't speak of and think of a better way just to be able to start off the year of just honoring God. Come on, not coming of God, give to me, but come and say, God, I'm here for you. That's what our night of praise and worship is about. So that'll be at 7 p.m. right here. So hope that you will join us. Now let's delve right into this because we got to jump into the deep if we're going to get deeper. You don't just, you know, kind of ease into this. You jump right in. So Ezekiel chapter 47, that's where I want to begin. Shared this with you on last week. This is the prophet Ezekiel, and he's sharing a vision that he has. And in the vision, a man is kind of taking him through the sanctuary. And this is what happens in verse 3. He walked to the east with a measuring tape and measured off 1,500 feet, leading me through the water that was ankle deep. So when he measured off, you know, that 1,500 feet and they started, there was probably no water or just maybe a little puddle of water. But after 1,500 feet now, Ezekiel gets deeper. And now all of a sudden the water is up to his ankles. It says, leading me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,500 feet, leading me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,500 feet, leading me through water that's now waist deep. He measured off another 1,500 feet, taking them even deeper. By now, it was a river over my head, water to swim in, water no one could possibly walk through. Now, my prayer for you and my prayer for me this year is that we'll go deeper, that we get ourselves into a place of waters that we can't walk through. Come on, waters where your feet cannot hit the bottom. Waters where your eyes can't see the bottom. That you and I, our choice, our lone choice is to really look to God and say, God, I trust you. We are called by God to be believers. We live in a society and a culture that really teaches us to be doubtful and skeptical. I was raised off of this particular, you know, premise and theory. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So in other words, if you got over on me one time, okay, you got me, but I was never to give you a second chance. So that three strike rule, we ain't play that. You had one strike and we were done. Because we are trained to be skeptical. We're trained, quite frankly, to doubt. We're trained now to just kind of, you know, just look at people in suspicion. And if you don't watch it, you really wind up transferring that type of character, that type of expectation in your relationship with God, where you're not very trusting, not really what I call in a place of faith. Unfortunately, I think in Christianity today, it's really become very, very concerning to me that there's a lot of faith placed in doubt. Do you understand what I mean by that? Because that's really a contradiction of terms. But it's a lot of faith placed in doubt that, well, you just don't know what the outcome will be, but just trust God. What is that? What is that? What do you mean, just trust God? Distrust God in what? Well, you just never know the Lord's will. Who said that? That's not what God said. That's not what he says. Why? Listen. Why would God go through all that he went through? Releasing, listen, ladies and gentlemen, himself to take on a dirt suit, human flesh, to walk around the earth, to be ridiculed, to then be scourged, to be crucified and to be put to death, and then now to take his life back up again, also that maybe, hopefully, might work out for you. What is that? Who would do? You wouldn't do that. Why would we think God would do that? God laid it all on the line because God's mindset is, when I do this, this sets it up for it all to be well with you. Now, that means you have to come to a place where you join your faith with that. It won't be automatic just because I did it. You will have to connect with it. But as long as you connect with it, baby, it will turn to your good. That's God's heart, and that's believing God. That is faith in God. So we have to go deeper in our believer. We got to expand our believer. Listen. We have to believe God like he believes in us. You know God believes in you? Have you ever disappointed yourself before? Please don't raise your hand. But I got news for you. In all of the times you and I may have disappointed ourselves in something that we said or did, God says, I still believe in you. The calling I have for you, I still believe all of that's going to come to pass. And you're thinking, God, you don't understand what I said last night. And God like, oh, yes, I do. I was there. I heard every word of it. And I still believe in you. Time to go deeper. So may we all encounter waters again that we cannot walk through. But now here's where we're going to spend some time today. You have to understand now, if we're going to go deeper, you have to understand this. Please embrace this with me. You're made for the deep. Come on, you're made for the deep. You're really not made for shallow water. You're not made to be on the surface. You are made for the deep. You're built for this. You're built to get deeper with God. And God is calling you and I to come deeper with him, praise God. And the good news is you're already equipped for it. You already got goggles for it. You already got scuba gear for it. You are set and ready. Now, let's make sure that we use it. But here's the things that we have to begin to address if, in fact, we are going to take advantage of this deep. Here's the very first thing. How deep is your commitment? How deep is your commitment? If we are going to go deeper with God, my prayer for all of us is that we go deeper with God in our commitment. Now, I don't know. Listen, yes, I do. I know about every married couple in here. Every married couple in here. Everyone. If at the altar you're there exchanging vows and the reverend, pastor, minister, whomever says, well, do you promise to stay faithful and loyal to this man, to this woman? Not until death do you part, as long as everything goes okay. And if the bills don't get paid, you know, on time, then you don't have to continue to stay, you know, in this commitment. How many of you know that just puts a whole new spin on the whole ceremony? You don't feel as loving and confident, because one of the things that makes a marriage ceremony, you know, so wonderful is the fact that there's such an honesty and openness now that you're pledging your lives to this person and they're pledging it to you. How would you feel, though, if the person on the other end says, yeah, but I'm not sure if I'm going to keep doing this for long? How many people would keep going through with that ceremony? Or let me just see, because I already know for my ladies in here. If that man says, look, I want you to know I love you, but there's a couple of others that I love too. But baby, I love you more than all the rest. You'd be like, Negro. If you said Negro, you might have said something else. Because that's not what we consider with commitment. Commitment is this thing, the state of being unquestionably devoted. See, I'm committed to my wife, you know, Rhonda, My wife, she's committed to me. There's not a case where, you know, she, you know, I'm willing. Watch this. I'm willing to accept from her, or she would accept from me. Be like, you know what, Anthony? I saw somebody cute the other day, and I just wanted to just go to lunch, you know, tomorrow. But I'll be back after lunch. Oh, now Jesus. Come on, how many of you know there's going to be trouble in the house? There's going to be trouble in the neighborhood. There's going to be trouble in South Florida, state of Florida. Dear God, federal custody may have to come get me. Why? Because that's not commitment. Ladies and gentlemen, Almighty God has been over the moon committed to you and I. And his mindset is, son, daughter, I need you to come deeper with me in your commitment. See, it's easy to be committed when everything's going well. Come on, everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine. So, hey, you know, we do this, you know, we go to church, we're nice to people, we, you know, everything's fine. But then when pressure hits, where's the commitment then? Where's the commitment? Come on now, go deeper in your commitment. Go deeper in your commitment with each other as married couples. Make this a year that, you know what, honey, I'm going to love you even deeper than I ever have before. Come on, in your service to your children, be deeper. Let me say this. I said it at 8:30, so I think it's only fair I share it with you all as well. Be deeper in your commitment when it comes to God and your church. Listen, don't be a professional visitor. All right, let's just say this. Don't just date a pastor. I'm married to you. Come on now, I've been whining and dining. Some of y'all, I've been whining and dining for some time. Come on now, let's put a ring on it. Come on, let's be committed to each other. Yeah, commitment, you know, begins to breed confidence. I had a friend, still friend, and this was some years ago. We were in college. Never forget. We were in college. And just for the record, I won't go into a whole lot of detail on this, but just for the record, I was kind of one of them guys that after I got born again and started pursuing ministry, all my friends were shocked. You know, they was like, you? So that really wasn't good, because it meant I was probably not being very nice before I met Jesus. Don't look at me like that. And I had one particular friend, and, you know, never will forget. I know y'all didn't do things like this, but we went to a party. And, you know, it's off campus. Never will forget. It was off campus. Everybody around there, you know. The roof! The roof! Don't you keep singing that. And party's going on. And some other guys began to do some things. And, okay, my temper wasn't the best. I'll just say that. So I responded like I normally respond, and next thing you know, it's on around there. All kind of stuff happening. And my friend took off running. In the midst of everything's going on, all of a sudden the police come in. I'm trying to get out of there. And a couple of, you know, people were like, what happened to your boy? And I was like, I was wondering the same thing. Where is he? He's like, I'm going to tell you, we saw exactly what he did. Completely changed our relationship at that point. Because I realized in that moment, he wasn't as committed to me as I was committed to him. Because just because, watch this, times got tough and difficult, that's not time to run. Listen, just because things may not exactly be looking the way that you hoped and prayed, that's never time to run on God or your commitment with God. God is calling for us to come deeper with him. Yeah. Somebody say, I'm launching out into the deep. Notice what you see at the screen there. It says, one reason our society has such a struggle with God today is because we tend to be non-committed people trying to live in sync with a very committed God. Oh, he is very committed. Very, very committed. And it's hard to live in sync, you know, not being fully committed, you know, with him. And all God is saying, come on, just come on. Let me take you deeper. Let's go deeper together. And here's really something you got to keep in mind. Anything that's going to be great and good, it really starts with commitment. Come on, your business is not going to be great if you're not committed. Your marriage is not going to be great if you're not committed. Come on. Anything that's going to be good, it really starts with this sense of commitment, this state of unquestionable devotion. And this is where God needs us to go deeper. Don't be an uncommitted type person. Stay committed, stay locked in. You know, when I was some years ago, never will forget, I know this never happened to anyone in here. I pray it didn't. But I made a commitment about a car that I bought. I financed a car, and I committed that I would pay X amount of money a month. I think it was about $300 a month for that car. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And watch this. Everything was going good. That's why you make the commitment. Everything's going good. But all of a sudden now, things got a little tight. Something happened here. Something happened there. And before I knew it, I was dodging phone calls. You know, this is before, you know, you had the cell phone where you could just see everybody, you know, where they were calling from and who it was. So, you know, I ain't answer the phone for anybody because I just thought it might have been such and such. And a couple of times it was, you know how it is. You answer the phone and they get it. It's like, can we speak to Anthony Crawford? Hola. No habla inglés. And I heard, man, you know, hang up real quick. Why? Because all of a sudden times had gotten difficult with me. And as a result of that, I reneged on my commitment. Don't renege on your commitment with God. All of my spades players are here. You understand? Reneging is a good way to lose some books and a sure way to get set. I'll leave that right there. All right. Glory to God. Somebody will catch hold of that. We got to go deeper. Let me give you this as well. What is the measure of your character? If we're going to go deeper, we have to go deeper in faith, be believers, be deeper in our commitment to God. And please, please, by all means, let's be deep in our character. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a to-do list. This is fruit production. This is what is naturally produced without any human effort when you are connected with God. So don't try to be more loving. If you're doing that, you're doing it wrong. Just be better connected with God. And these are the things that are naturally produced. And the deeper you go with God, oh, the greater the fruit, the more luscious the fruit. And this is what God is looking for from us, character that resembles him. It says here, you see it on the screen, people are itching to see more of God's character shining through us and less of our own human insufficiencies. And listen, and please, I understand we all are dealing with stuff. Come on, say it with me, say, I'm dealing with something. Okay, you don't want to say that in faith. It's not faith. You're dealing with something. I know it. You're dealing with something. We can all sit here and try to act like, oh. If there ever needed a replacement for Jesus, all God would have to do is call on me. Okay, look. We're all dealing with things that we are working through and growing, you know, from. That is understood. But we cannot make excuses for it either. That's one of the very big concerns I have. Well, you know, and nobody perfect. You know, and just be cussing people out. Like, wait, stop. Stop. Listen, okay. Have you ever been on a job or maybe a family member or something, and they told you that they were born again or saved or something like that, and you were shocked? You ever encounter somebody like that? They're just like, yeah, and you're thinking to yourself, I would have never guessed that. By the way they conducted themselves, their character was completely opposite of what we think of when we think of God. Or maybe it could have been you or me. Where people were like, huh, you? The way you act? The way you talk about everybody? Oh, boy. Come on now. Come on. Listen. If we go on your social media accounts right now, can we recognize your salvation? Or are we going to be very befuddled and confused? Like, I thought the person said they were saved. I thought they said they were a Christian. What is all that? What is that? Why has that person got 10 friends that got these naked videos? Oh, okay. All right. What's the measure of your character? People need to see God's character. And it has to come through you and I. Notice what you see here. Paul was addressing, and he reflected back on Moses wearing the veil when he's bringing the tablets down from Mount Sinai. It says, whenever though they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil and there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. He's talking about the law. We're free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of his face, and so we are transfigured much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. Character. This is why we say all the time, not just on Sundays, we say it all the time, that we are family of friends who passionately love God, who seek to share his love with those who know him and those who don't, as we grow together to be like Christ. We're growing together to be like Christ, to kind of get rid of our own issues so that we can shine just like God shines. His life, his presence is living big on the inside of us, and he is screaming, let me out. Let people see me through you. This is what we are called to do. That's why our culture is to be accepting, to be authentic, to be grateful, to be generous, to be relevant, to be powerful, to be excellent in all things, so that we can demonstrate God's character. Not judging people, but again, loving and accepting people the same way God does. But that requires a commitment to go deeper. Say it with me, I'm going deeper. Come on, say it like you mean it. I'm going deeper. Listen, this very first Sunday of the year, just be on record if you haven't already picked it up. I'm here to challenge you this Sunday. I don't want you to feel comfortable. I'm hoping you're starting to get a little uneasy. Because I told you, when you're comfortable, you're on the surface of the water. We got to get deeper. See, the deeper you go, the more you start to get a little bit uncomfortable. Like, whoa, wait a minute. Wow. You get real deep and you start to look up, praise God. If you've been scuba diving, you'd be like, whoa, the surface is way up there. You start to then recognize your absolute dependence upon that oxygen tank. So when you get deep now, you get deep and you recognize the surface is up there, it brings you to a place where you're recognizing your dependence upon Almighty God. That God, if it's not for you, I drown. If it's not for you, I die. But with you, I can go to the depths of depths that no man has ever seen before. I want to go deeper with you. Deeper in our faith, deeper in our commitment, deeper in our character. So now, here's the question that we have to come to. God wants us to come deeper. We have to ask ourselves the question, though, what's keeping us afloat? What's keeping us up? You know, naturally speaking, this is your pool in your backyard. Naturally speaking, we're kind of like this. If you jump into that pool, you jump into that 4 feet of water, what happens? You pretty much, I think these might float, though. Yeah, these float. Mm-hmm. But watch this. See, you float like that when you're hollow. Somebody will catch that. You get some weight of character. And that thing starts to take you down to the bottom. You're built for this. You and I, we're made to go very, very deep with God. So it ought to be a case that when we are getting into the water, bang, we're going down to the depths. But what happens is that we have perfected all of these artificial things to keep us on the surface. So rather than just allowing ourselves to do what God's made us to do, to go deep with him, we put on life jackets of fear so that when we jump in, we don't go down. And everybody else is up there too, so you feel all right. That's what everybody else is doing. But God said, I didn't build you like that. I built you to come deep with me. I built you to go down. Why are you wearing that fear? Or with all of our kids, we did this. Come on now, parents, y'all know about them. Those little inflatable things you put on their arms. Come on now. I mean, when my first son, you know, Tony, when we first got him, even it was my first son, so I'm having fun with it. I'm throwing him in the water. Pow. Now, he got these things on. I remember my wife was like, oh, stop, stop. I was like, don't worry. He's going to come back up. He go down a little bit, but then, boop, he pop right back up to the top. Why? Because he had the inflatables on him. So you have to watch it. If you have on these life things, life preservers, you know, like selfishness, you got on these little, inflatable things on your arm, like disobedience, you know. You got that little, what is that, little noodle thing, you know, keep you from going under. God says, that's stopping you. Shed those things so that you can finally come deeper with me. See, I know this. Every one of us that are here this morning, we want to go deeper with God. That's why we show up. And certainly for some of you all, I know, some of you, you don't live around the corner. You drive from here, dear God. You're driving from Wellington. You're driving, dear God, from down, you know, south. You're driving from here, there. You're showing up because you want to go deeper. So then you got to now ask yourself, all right, I know that's what I want. Otherwise, I wouldn't even be here. So let me identify what may be stopping me from getting deeper with God. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Come on now. Let us strip off every one of the flotation devices that's keeping us afloat. Let's make sure we strip off the sin. Come on now, the issue, that room in the house that we've refused to let God into. Strip that off. Give that up for God once and for all so that you and I can go deeper. It's not complicated. Your heart desire is to go deeper. Now you have to identify what's stopping me. It's not God. And listen, it ain't even the devil. There's something that you got on. You got on an inner tube of something. Come on now. You got, like I said, one of these little noodles, and it's not letting you go. You got to take these things off so that you can go ahead and get to the deep like you have been designed to by God. Notice the rest of the verse. It says, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. I love this phrase here, that Jesus endured the cross, disregarding its shame. To be now hung on the cross and hung on the tree, that was a picture of a curse. And Jesus knew that. And now the thinking is, well, everyone's going to think that I'm cursed. But Jesus flipped that whole thing and says, yes, I'm taking on the curse for everyone. But it says he disregarded the shame, meaning that it was a temptation for him to feel shame in what he was doing. Or let's put it in these terms. It was a temptation to be embarrassed. Has God ever kind of prompted you, spoke to you, you know, moved you, or maybe you just thought of maybe kind of doing this, that, or the other for God, but what other people thought made you to kind of retract a little bit? That sense of embarrassment. Like, man, I would do it, but what would people think? Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter what people think. I got news for you. Most of you understand this already. People think what they want to think. You can't control that. So don't worry about it. Just be you with God and get deeper. Get deeper. There's great things in the deep. Listen, you're not going to catch anything in that ankle deep water. You're not going to get anything in that knee deep water. Now, what are you talking about catch? I'm talking about now, we're talking about catching by faith. You're not catching health and healing in ankle deep water. No, you don't catch prosperity and peace in ankle. Listen, your marriage is going to have a hard time surviving in that knee deep water. You have to get deeper if you want the life from God to really show up. And that means you got to make a commitment. I'm going further. Whatever the commitment may have been in 2019, I challenge you, take it deeper now with God. I will come forward. I will come forward and go deeper. I will. Come on, say it with me. I will. Now, say it like you mean. Say, I will. Now you have to identify where you are with God on that. You got to identify that. But make the commitment to go deeper. If you have some difficulty identifying it, come talk to me. I'll help you. I could probably help you identify where you are inside of 30 seconds. I've been doing this for a while. But let's just go deeper together. That's all it is. We can do this. We can do it, and we can do it strong. Notice what you see here in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. It says, the wicked are edgy with guilt, ready to run off even when no one's after them. Poor things. Honest people, though, however, people like you and I who know how to get into the deep, are relaxed and confident, bold as lions. Understand what this is saying here, and I put this on the screen for you. Disobedience to God attacks our confidence and our clarity of mind. So when you disobey God, it starts to attack your confidence. You start to feel like, oh, I'm not worthy. Oh, you know, God really not going to do that for me. It starts to attack your confidence. It starts to attack your clarity of mind. And unfortunately, if you stay in that particular place long enough, it can begin to do what King James Version calls this, kind of sear your conscience, where now you start being kind of desensitized to what's going on. And I never will forget, I'm not going to mention any names, but I was shocked behind this. Well, I can't say I was shocked, but I was disappointed. One particular athlete, professional athlete, it was some years ago, and was doing some things, and then next thing kind of happened, person was kind of on the mountaintop in their career. And then about the next year, I think the individual had like about 7 kids, you know, from like about 7 different women. And the individual had you know, pronounced himself to be, you know, a Christian, so forth. So individual's kind of like, you know, how do you reconcile that? You know, you're a Christian, you know, but 7? And I never will forget the individual's response. Says, you know, I don't see why you all are trying to hold me to a standard that nobody lives up to. And I was like, wow, really? And what that spoke to me was the individual had gotten into the behavior so deep, so long, that now he's desensitized to what he's doing. And it's acceptable because, hey, after all, this is what he's saying, everybody does it. Oh, I'll use this one. I never will forget this. You all remember this. You remember Kobe Bryant was on the verge of, you know, being divorced by his wife? Because he was out there, you know, being unfaithful to his wife. And then he got in front of one camera one time. He said, man, I should have done just like the stuff Shaq do, man. I mean, Shaq got mad. He's like, how you throwing me under the bus, man? Lifestyle they're living. And then I never will forget this statement. Mr. Bryant said this, I love my wife just as much as the next man. I said, boy, you is lying now. I'm going to tell you that right now, because I don't do that with my wife. I don't do that. That's not love towards my wife. Like, baby, you know I love you, but I'm about to go out here and do my thing. That's not love. See, you can get desensitized. Now, I pray that all that's different, you know, with him, you know, now. He seems like he's, you know, really bounced back from that, and certainly pray that he has. But I need for you to understand that disobedience, one, it'll start hurting your confidence towards God. But if you stay there long, it'll bring you to a place where, listen, you won't even care. You just do whatever and just be like, yeah, you know, whatever. I'm a man. Yeah, I'm grown. Famous last words. Last thing. Place everything before God. Not some things, not most things, everything. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, your going to church life, and place it before God as an offering. And an offering is something that you give in order to bring value to somebody else. God says, I want you to take you. Just take you. Don't be complicated with like, well, what parts of me? God says, don't even try to divide. Just give me all of you. Bring it all to me as an offering that you're giving to me to bring value to me. And see, when you bring value to me, I bring my value back to you. Place it all before me in an act of worship and an act of service, surrendering all. And then it says this, embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. God's called you to something. And the first thing, listen, the first thing, this is the first thing Jesus did with these disciples that he called. The very first thing that he did, he said, I called them to be with me. Before he sent them out two by two to minister, to preach and all of that, their first part of their calling was just be with Jesus. That's the first part of your calling and mine too. Just be with God. Come deeper. Come off of the shore and let's go deeper with God. And then you see right here at the bottom, fasting and prayer are God's weights that are designed to take us deeper, faster. Oh, yeah, we can go out on a cruise ship and, you know, go on one of the excursions and jump off, you know, a little pier or whatnot. And it'll take us down a little bit, but you'll probably come up some and you'll see, you know, the surface of the water. But if you put some weights on, you jump off that pier then, I got news for you. You're going to go down. And you're going to go down fast until you hit the bottom. Well, see, prayer and fasting are weights like that for us. It accelerates us into the depth with God so that now we can see him better than we've ever seen him before. We can hear from him better than we've ever heard from him before. And therefore, now we can transform better than we've ever transformed before. Take advantage of this season of prayer and fasting to get deeper with Almighty God. Please lift up two hands with me right here. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Father God. All say it like you mean it. Say, Father God, I love you and I thank you for making me a believer. I trust you. I don't doubt. I look to you and your word and what it says. Help me now to get deeper with you in my faith, in my commitment, in my calling, and in my character. I thank you for transforming my life and making 2020 the greatest year of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, if you agree with that and believe it, shout glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God.